Christian Leadership Conference. It starts and rise. Acceptable service. I thank God our mommy has done a major foundational work on this theme, acceptable service. For the next few minutes, I'm going to be handling mobilizing the local church for acceptable service. Mobilizing the local church for acceptable service. Our text remains the same. Hebrews chapter 12. Shall we open again? The book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Amen. We have been taught, and God has also enlarged our heart concerning acceptable service. Now, what does it mean to mobilize the local church? Mobilizing the local church, we are talking about preparing and organizing our local assemblies. I want to say you and I are the number one servant in this service unto God. We are the number one servant. Whether you are the pastor in charge, whether you are the pastor's wife of the pastor in charge, or you are the head of workers, or whatever category you may be serving, let us understand that there is the need to prepare ourselves, prepare the local church, prepare your group for acceptable service. And I want to start by saying we need to also organize our families as the number one family to serve God in an acceptable way. In an acceptable, you know, the emphasis is on the acceptability of our services unto God. And so I'm looking at we, number one servant, what do we do to mobilize and prepare our people? But there are certain information that must be given out for people to be well organized under us. It was Miles Monroe who says that if the purpose of a thing is unknown, what happens? Abuse is inevitable. If you don't understand the purpose of gathering, preparing, organizing, and mobilizing the people for the acceptable service we have been taught, then that purpose will be abused. And that is why people categorize the Pentecostal churches as an unorganized, very scattered people. True of us. True of us. Many of our services are not organized because we ourselves are not organized. And so we need to have proper understanding, be able to organize ourselves such that we will now be able to organize the church towards acceptable service. Mommy has emphasized the issue of reverence. Now, understanding, the people must have the understanding of which service we are talking about. As you and I are into the ministry, we are to organize these people to render acceptable service unto God. Those in the business industry, those who are in big companies, they know the pop, importance of organizing the people. So as a church, when we are organizing the people, what is the purpose of that service? Who is the service unto? Why should I be involved in this service unto God? Because when we understand the service, why we should do it, it will guide us in fulfilling that purpose in an acceptable manner. So number one, I put here, we must understand the nature of this service that is required of us. In your church, you must understand the nature of the workforce that you need to put together for both of you, that is the workforce and yourself,
to be able to render the kind of service that is acceptable unto God. That of ourselves have been dealt with by mommy. So what we need to do is to make the people to understand also why involved in this kind of service unto the Lord. We must understand who is the master in this kingdom and the nature of the kingdom. We are looking at a kingdom that cannot be moved. People tend to serve their physical bosses. They serve their companies, serving things they can see with much more commitment than the kingdom of God, than their service in the kingdom of God, because they don't have understanding. If they have understanding that or whatever salary scale they attain, whatever height they attain in their career, everything ends here on earth. But if we have an understanding that we belong to a kingdom that cannot be moved, and I'm going to work in that kingdom as a servant of God, I want to serve in this capacity or the other, then I should know that whatever I'm doing is for a kingdom that cannot be moved. And whatever I have done, when this life is gone, I have a reward in the hereafter. Amen. So we will have to teach them and begin to mobilize our people to understand the kingdom we have come into, and that there are rewards. For that, I want us to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 15. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, bronze, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The very first verse says, we are laborers together with God. And so we make the church to have an understanding as we begin to arrange them and prepare them that this service is unto God. We are all laborers with God. You may be the founding pastor, but Jesus is the owner of his church. And so as I am please him, you too must labor to please him. We must teach our people. I may be the pastor in charge. I am the senior servant. All of us are servants. I'm not going to reward you. God is going to reward you. And let's discourage people that are using money to entice laborers in the kingdom of God. Because a lot of people are being lured by financial gains. Amen. So I'm setting that foundation. Now, what are some of these things that we must teach our people as we are preparing them? Number one, the motive. A lot of people come to church with the wrong motive. A lot of people enroll as workers for the wrong motive. And so as we prepare them in our churches, please, let's emphasize the motive for which we are serving God. Brethren, if we ask us, I would like to do that. I want to take one response here, one response there. What is the motive for serving as a worker in the house of God? One, just one. Motive. Motive. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. For God to reward us? Yes. Motive. For serving. Is a commandment that I should serve him. Brethren, we have been, yes, who? Yes, ma'am. For the expansion of the kingdom of God. You see, these are all right motives for serving God. Number one, Jesus has commanded. he gave us, mommy said that from Matthew 25. I have that here. Matthew 25, there's reward in the kingdom for faithful service. And so I want to serve God with faithfulness, with commitment, with dedication, because I want to please God, number one. And when I please him, I will receive a reward hereafter. I want to populate the kingdom of heaven and depopulate the kingdom of hell. I want people that will receive rewards along with me, quality rewards in heaven. Therefore, I will teach them and mobilize them to do quality service unto God. But I am the one leading them. So if your motive is wrong, every other person following you will have a wrong motive. But if your motive is correct, your focus is right, your motive is right, you will be able to infuse that motive to everyone following you. They may not all accept initially, but as they grow and they are following, by and by they begin to understand and their motive will begin to fall in line with that which is acceptable to God. Thereafter, when they render services, such services will be acceptable unto the Lord. Motive is important. Number two, faithfulness and loyalty. I bring these two together. Those of us that were converted in the in the 70s and in the 80s and even in the early 90s, if you are an observant of the happenings in the body of Christ, you will agree with me that today the level of loyalty has gone very low in the church. The level of faithfulness to the assignment has become very, very low. Many are not faithful, number one, to God. Because they are not faithful to God, they are not loyal to God. They find it very difficult to be loyal to their heads, physical heads of ministries that they are working with. But you and I must examine ourselves as we begin to prepare our people. What is my level of faithfulness unto the master? This assignment, you see, we have done personal assessment. Let's not joke with it. Let's always assess ourselves. Paul says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. And so you examine your level of faithfulness to the master. Am I being faithful because of what they will give to me or for the applause from men? Or am I faithful because God is the one that is going to reward me? And so if I know God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him, then I will seek him with all my heart and be faithful when it is convenient, when it is not convenient. When I am doing that, brethren, because I'm going to be focusing on being example, 2 Timothy 4:12, being an example in all of these areas, so that as we gather our people and begin to prepare them, they see us as people worthy to follow. Faithfulness. Are we faithful? If somebody cannot be a faithful tither, I don't think he can be faithful in other areas in the service of God. So you yourself, are you faithful? Are you loyal to the commission? Where you are coming from, even if your husband is the senior pastor, are you loyal to him? If you are loyal to him or you are under a commission, are you loyal to the general overseer whom you are seeing physically? If you are loyal, they call upon you, they give you an assignment, and you do it how you were told to do it, when you were told to do it, then you can tell others and organize them. And then when you are telling them, you have a free conscience to talk to them. Then you can organize them. Level of loyalty is dropping because leaders are also not loyal. Talk about various groups. You talk about the PFN, you talk about other associations. People are not loyal. Brethren, is a sin. I mean, it's a canker worm of the end time. Those days when you call for a meeting, 4 p.m., brethren will be there. They are committed. They are faithful. They are loyal because you have asked them to come. They are not asking questions because they know you cannot mislead them. Today, you tell them to come by 4, they are examining number one. Why should it be 4 p.m.? Number two, what are we coming to do? Did you see how we have to teach them? We have to teach on loyalty. And we too must be an example of loyalty such that they can receive and tap from that unction of loyalty from us. Praise the Lord. Whatever assignment you are given, are you loyal to it? We are going to look at 2 Timothy
chapter 2, verse 2. I have a very short time, but we will try and meet up with a few topics, a few leading the Holy Spirit will guide us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. As we are organizing our people for acceptable service, we must look out for faithful men among them. And when you teach them how to be faithful, you also look out for those who are faithful. You teach on loyalty, you look out for those who are loyal to instructions, loyal to leadership. Those are the people you commit things into their hands, because they will be able to join you to render acceptable service unto God. When people are showing evidences of disloyalty, call the attention to it immediately. Call the attention. And if someone is not being faithful, you see, don't just say it from the pulpit. Call on them one after the other. Jesus says, I know my sheep. My sheep does what? And hears my voice. Another man's voice they will not hear. Unfortunately, today, a lot of people don't know the voice of their shepherds. And many shepherds don't know the sheep. They don't know their voices. So we must seek to know those people we want to arrange and prepare for acceptable service. When people are not following the teachings, they are going contrary, they have another pastor they are loyal to and listening to, they are not under you. And so you don't be sentimental and commit valuable things of the kingdom into their hands. Don't use that to encourage anybody to stay in the church. That is the problem we are having today. People are disloyal, they are disrespectful, they are unfaithful, they work disorderly, and we want to keep them and we give them responsible positions. Brethren, we are encouraging them to render unacceptable service. We shouldn't. We shouldn't. When people are leading rebellion, that is the invite. We read it this morning too, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. 23 says that rebellion is like a sin of witchcraft. In the church, our pastor is here. When there was an issue of rebellion and the plague was already working, I came back from Benin City. I was preparing. I didn't know who would lead the prayers. But then the Lord opened my eyes and said, the plague is burning. Lead the church in repentance. The rebellion was against us. But God says, you are the pastor in charge, lead them. And I came to church that evening. I said, before we do anything, this is what we are going to do. Please, I will lead you all. We have all sinned. Those people involved may not know what they are doing, but the plague is already burning. And we came to the altar and told our daddy, please forgive. They don't know what they are doing. Have mercy upon them. You don't condone any act of disloyalty and rebellion. God does not joke with it. So let's teach our brethren. Let's teach them. When they understand these things, they will follow better. And then our services will be acceptable all of the time. That is why we are gathered here. So that as I'm walking orderly, nobody should walk disorderly behind me. If they are walking disorderly, they don't know, I should teach them. I should bring it to their notice. I should intercede and pray for them. But then when they misbehave, I should bring it out and not condone any acts of indiscipline, so that our services will receive reward on the long run. We look at Paul and Timothy. I won't be able to go into, but let me write down Philippians 2, 19 to 23, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2, Acts 16, 1 to 5. Philippians 2, 19 to 23, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2, Acts 16, 1 to 5, talking about Timothy as an example of a faithful and loyal disciple. Read those scriptures. When people are minding other things, your loyal members will mind the things of the kingdom with you. They may not be few, but always take note of them, so that when the time comes for responsibility, those are the people you look out for and give them responsibility. And you can go to sleep and close your eyes. They will do exactly what you want them to do. Paul could send Timothy. And so we need to have Timothys in the ministry as workers, that we can delegate
responsibilities into their hands. Amen. Well, not men pleasers, Colossians 3:22-23. If when I'm around, you come early to church, when I travel, you come late, then you are an eye service man. A pastor friend of mine was telling us he was always traveling to the U.S. His family is based in U.S. And each time he gets to the U.S., there are a lot of preaching engagements waiting for him. He says, Sister Messibe, when I come back, I discover that most of my members have gone. I will have to start gathering. I said, Daddy, they are not loyal to you. When you are away, that's the time they're supposed to be there, knowing that Daddy is away. But now you are not around, and they to find their other churches to go or sit at home. That is an error. It's an error. Praise the Lord. Some time ago, somebody told us, anytime, Bishop, you are traveling, don't tell your people. I said, our people are not like that. They are not like that. Our pastor is here. They are not like that. Initially, some were like that, but we have to talk to them. You just have to be around. We have to inform you we are going. Like this one, we told them, we two pastors won't be around, but please, Bible study, the prayer meeting. Somebody is there to do it. So you organize yourself. You organize your people. Praise the Lord. We do everything as unto the Lord. Romans 12:1-2. Let's read it together, please. Because it's like we are not teaching this thing much in our churches these days. And so we are here to prepare ourselves, package ourselves, and go back home to affect our ministries positively. Romans chapter 12. We know them, but let's please open and read together verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12. Shall we read together? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Two times the word acceptable was mentioned here. The first one in verse 1, talking about your body, presenting your body holy. Your body first, people, to live in holiness and righteousness. As you lead them living in holiness and righteousness, it should not be mentioned among us fornication or adultery or all of those evil things that people do with their bodies. It shouldn't be found with us. 419er, a pastor who is still swindling people on finances, I don't know. What are you teaching the people? Because by and by they will get to know. A woman who is a busybody, you know, you are the one gossiping among members. What do you teach your people? No. So, the body, number one instrument, physical instrument that we are going to use to do the acceptable service, must be acceptable to God. Backbiting, evil speaking, laziness, careless talks, unhealthy jokes, jestings. These are unhealthy for anyone that wants to render a service that is acceptable unto God. We must be careful. So when we are able to curb that, then we can check on others and tell them to present their bodies in a way that they can render a service that is acceptable. A Christian leader that is dressing in a suggestive, seductive way, what kind of service will you render that is acceptable unto God? And so when you are decently dressed and you are always, on point concerning your outward appearance, then you can curb others who think it doesn't matter how I dress as long as I meet God's standard spiritually. No, we balance it up because number one, the service that is acceptable, your body must be acceptable with which you will do the service. Hallelujah. Do you know one thing in the Old Testament? People that are lame and all those kind of things are not allowed to render as priests, to render service as priests physically now. But thank God we're in the dispensation of grace. Amen. And so what that means is that when there is any problem, the shortfall, we should not condone that. We should do what? Straighten such people and tell them no. For your service to be acceptable, you have to be holy and righteous inside out. Amen. and then your acceptable service, you are not conformed to this world. You pastors, please, if you have pastors that still marry people that are already pregnant, they are sending signal. What they are telling them is that adultery and fornication, go on song. We will still wed you, and then you will serve God in the house. You know, these are things. Let them know. Let them know that in that church, they don't wed people that are living in sin. They don't stop. They must give them discipline if they are caught. And if they are pregnant, go and do every other thing. We'll bless your, you know, whatever. It's not controversial. The bed, what? Marriage is honorable, and the bed undefiled. But one among us, God will judge. A pastor's wife died. This man is over 60. And then he wanted to marry. It is right, isn't it? After all, death has done them part. But the problem is that you are sleeping with the woman you have not yet married. So my husband told him, he said, it's the same condition for a young single man that has found a woman to marry. You don't start committing sin with her before you take her. When you know you can't stay, quickly marry her. After all, you've been married before, you have grandchildren. He said, why didn't he know? Let's teach the people. The fact that we have gone to registry is not a license to commit sin. If you must come to church for your wedding, then you have to wait until you are joined. But you see, we are afraid. We don't want to lose members. And so we condone all manner of things. No. Some parents come to us. They want to change the age of their children. That child is not old enough to do whatever. And so you want to do age declaration so that that child can gain admission. You understand? And people are joining them. We must not conform to the world so that you can stand and say, oh God, Nehemiah said, oh God, remember me. When God remembers you, can he pass you? And so when your member is walking disorderly, can you checkmate him? If you do with Ogboju, your spirit will condemn you. A Christian woman came. My daughter is doing, I want her to try common entrance. I said, but she's in primary 5. He said, even some schools enroll primary 5. I said, because they will lie and give them primary 6 continuous assessment. They will submit. I said, okay, where do you want to get that? She began to look at me. And she began to look at me. Amen. Take your stand. Take your stand. Don't compromise. When you don't compromise, then you can talk to those that are compromising. And then when we render quality service, others are following us. It will not be multitudes doing whatever seems right in their eyes. And they think that service is acceptable. Even they think they are doing you a favor. And that's why we start by telling them the kind of kingdom we belong to, the kind of service required from them, the motive for the service unto God, faithfulness and loyalty required unto God, and then you'll be able to be faithful and loyal to your ministers. Praise the Lord. Selfless service. If I am not selfless, then I have no right telling my members or people in my group to be selfless. When it is convenient, when it is not convenient, you do. Colossians 3:17. Shall we please open to Colossians 3:17? If you find it before me, you can read, please. Yes, whatsoever we do in word or deed, everything should be done in the name of the Lord, and we give thanks to him. So whatever you cannot do in the name of the Lord, it shouldn't be done. And any service you want to render in the name of the Lord must be done selflessly. Nothing, no condition attached to that service. No condition. Unconditional service. Unconditional. Acts 20:17-20. You serve God only. No reservation. No condition attached. As long as it is God. And you have the understanding that this service is unto God. And you want it acceptable. It has to be unconditional. It has to be unreserved. Unreservedly. Selfless. Selfless. Hallelujah. Sometimes, naturally, we want to complain. But you see, where pastors, wives, or Christian leaders complain out loud to even younger Christians, they are killing their spirits. What is the pastor asking us to do again? oh, no, I have this to do. I have that to do. And everybody is complaining around them. And so that thing dies or is done half-heartedly. But somebody has led the complaints. Therefore, let's desist from that. If it's not going to be convenient, keep it to yourself. Don't speak it out. And let it be those that choose to do, you encourage them to do. And so, we don't attach conditions. Somebody once told me, this association said, what are we benefiting? I said, Ministerial association, what are you benefiting? If you have not benefited anything, I have been impacted. Must you look for physical gain before you render quality service? No. 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 Don't attach condition. If you understand that service primarily is unto God. As you strengthen the brethren, you are also blessed. And these things are recorded for us. It's a kingdom whereby we receive reward. We have read that in 1 Corinthians. You see, today we need to teach more on rewards. We need to teach more on the fact that some people's activities and work in the house of God, their services will go through fire and everything will be burnt. They will suffer loss. That's what Jesus said. They will suffer loss. And the Bible said there will be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. They have made heaven. Why should they still weep? Why? Because they have rendered services that are not qualified to receive rewards. There are rewards in heaven. And so I'm being mindful not to allow someone to talk me down on my reward. It is God that rewards. You may say thank you, but God knows what he will reward you with. And these are not tangible things that we can see now, but they are very, very real over there. And if we are going to a kingdom that is going to be forever and that cannot be moved, brethren, how should we serve God? You see, I tell them in the church, these people that don't have the real thing, they want to die for what they believe in. The Boko Harams. But we that have the real thing, we are not understanding the fact that our reward is there and it is tangible. And that kingdom is a tangible kingdom. And so we do the things of God with levity. Let us wake up the church. These are the spirit of the end time working in the churches. Amen. And unfortunately, leaders are caught up with it. Call a meeting for leaders. Give assignment to leaders. As the members are failing, leaders are also failing. Let us change. This is an international Christian women retreat. Let's effect the change. Let them see in us. We believe that kingdom. We are ready to die for that kingdom. I'm ready to serve selflessly because I know I have rewards waiting for me in heaven. I have. Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I've gone to prepare a place for you. He has gone to prepare a place for us. And we have things to do to fill up our homes, our mansions over there. And so let's teach our people. Why? Today there's so much motivational teaching going on. Everything is about business success and how to make millions and their stuff. But the whole thing will still be done. We'll be burnt up by fire. Everything will be dissolved by fervent heat. Everything will go at the tribulation. If it doesn't go at tribulation, it will go at the war of Armageddon. And so, why should we labor for that which perishes? And we refuse to labor for that of eternal value. His kingdom of this world is temporary. But the kingdom we are working for is an eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let us serve. We must teach our people to have a kingdom mentality. If you didn't write anything, please write that. Kingdom mentality. When Jesus came on earth, he taught about the kingdom. Everything was about the kingdom. 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 Some churches have become kingdom of their own. And people are serving those kingdoms. They are not serving the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom mentality is that Jesus, he has gone. He's coming back one day. Whatever I do, he has equipped me. He said, occupy till I come. And so I'm going to do all within my ability to have gains upon the things he has given to me. The talents, the gifts, the spiritual gifts, the time, the opportunity. I will put in the best, affect my own generation as much as he endowed me. Because I know when I get to his presence in the kingdom, there are rewards waiting for me. And we shall rule and reign with him. Let's teach them. Let's teach our members. As many as they are following these things, they will serve with acceptable service together with you. But you see, if their mentality is how everybody will make millions and they are running up and down, they will leave the main thing of the kingdom. They will leave the main original kingdom that is forever and pursue the temporary kingdom and with all the losses and may end up in hellfire. Because Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then the next point is the fear of God. Let's teach our people on the fear of God. Hey, God says, and your church has agreed that your time of service is 10 a.m. Teach them that want to serve God that the angels in heaven are prepared for that service for 10 a.m. And there is record in heaven. Physically, we may not keep record, but teach them that as we attend church punctually, heaven is taking record. It shows we fear God. It shows we reverence God. And I tell them, I don't go to church early because I've become pastor or pastor's wife. I made up my mind from when I gave my life to Christ and I understood this scripture to be punctual. Not because anybody is going to commend or give me anything. The fear of God should move us to do for him. So as we prepare the people, let's teach on the fear of God. If I am your father, where is my fear? If I am your master, where is my honor? Is it? Am I telling it right? If God is our father, where is the fear of God? And I should demonstrate that I fear God. And teach the people to fear God. In your house, you teach your children to fear God. You teach the workers in the church to fear God. And everybody is working and serving in the fear of God with holy reverence. Not because one pastor is coming, you kneel down, you quickly arrange the instrument. Why didn't you do it with the fear of God when nobody is around? The ushers, those in the sound department, those in the sanitation department, those in the prayer band, those in the Sunday school, the various arms of your church, whatever group you have, teach them the fear of God. Whether you are there or you are not there, as long as they have the fear of God, everybody will serve acceptably. Hallelujah. They should know the scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, not a pastor, not an evangelist or a bishop, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some churches don't no longer do serious study of the word. Let's go back there and from time to time, let's organize teaching seminars for this same group of people we are organizing to serve. I mean the workers, or whatever you call them in your ministries. Let's organize seminar. Let's organize training. Let's organize workshops. Let's organize prayer sessions, wherein we bring this thing bit by bit until they have a full understanding, until Christ is fully formed in them. So what we are talking about is the fact that when a worker understands the scripture, he studies the scripture, and you teach, he also gets a revelation. His service will be better than someone who doesn't study his Bible. Discourage people from reading from their handset, because a lot of them do a lot of work on handset during Bible study. In reading Bible, where I have Bible in my handset, is good. But encourage them to carry Bible and carry notes to church. And take down notes where they will go back and study those things. And so when they understand what it is to serve and the God we are serving, the kingdom we belong to, the motive is right. Brethren, the service will be acceptable. Because the scripture he has read, if he wants to go astray or go into error, the Holy Ghost will bring back what he has studied. Instead of grumbling and complaining, he will comport himself better. But if he doesn't know these things, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so he will end up doing it, but that service is not unacceptable. So we teach them. If I ask you to do something, the first thing that comes out of your heart, you have not said it out, is to grumble and complain and rebel in your heart. I may not know, but heaven is taking record. And so, the pastor may give you a pass mark, but in heaven, is zero. So we teach. I'm talking about mobilizing. This will help them to serve. I want to also mention, many a times, pastors' children complain a lot. I'm a pastor's daughter. My daddy is retired now. But you see, those times, if we were not properly trained, a lot of us will hate the church. Because then our churches were very far. We will get there first to open the church. Before, my mother, she will not condone lateness. Not even my daddy. My daddy is slowing down. Let's begin to hurry everybody. So we get there on time. And they will stay behind to do executive meeting, whatever meeting. We are not going home today. We may buy ice cream, buy biscuits, but lunch is ready anyway. And then by the grace of God, because of the training, you see, all of us are involved in ministries wherever we worship. Some of us are ministers, some are deacons, some are serious workers in their churches. But today, a lot of pastors' children don't want to be involved. Why? Because some of us don't involve them. We don't involve them on time. And so when they are trained, are we the only one? We are going to sweep. We are going to do this. You teach them. As we are doing it, heaven is taking record. God is going to reward us. You are not in sanitation, but please help to mop the church. God is taking record. Heaven is taking record. And after some time, they will grow to understand and they begin to serve with you. Acceptable service. Not children that will gather and be saying, we don't even know what is wrong with all these our pastor fathers and mothers. They corrupt us. We'll be doing everybody's job. We'll be doing everything. And members will come and be talking to us. You know? Those are the things that go on. But let's involve them. As you are mobilizing the church, mobilize, you are the number one family. Mobilize your children. Teach them. Get them involved in ministry. And to render acceptable service. If they misbehave, discipline them too. Amen? Amen. I want to end up by saying we should also not curb indiscipline in the church. When an erring member err, discipline. There's room for discipline. We must not overlook the issue of discipline. We curb moral decadence in the church when we discipline erring members. Some may go, but not everybody will go. And some will stay, and you will win them over to the Lord. But then you would have checked others. All of us are learning. May God give us grace to do that. I tell you, it may not be easy. But you see, because a lot of churches today condone indiscipline, when you discipline them in your church, they go to another church and they receive them. They may even ordain them. And somebody was asking us on Monday, he said, what do we now do? What can PFN do? What can CAN do? And I stood up, I said, there's nothing PFN can do. Why? If PFN goes to that pastor, he will tell them, are you the GO of my ministry? He may get out of PFN. And so what do we do? I told them, I said, let's teach our members. Let's teach them. Let's train them. But when they misbehave, discipline them. When you discipline them, it may be painful, but they will thank you when they begin to have understanding. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, shall we rise up? My time is up, I think. Shall we rise up? Make me a vessel of honor to be used. To be used. Make me a vessel of honor to be used in your house, O Lord. Make me like Mary, like Esther. Make me like Esther, like Deborah. Make me like Deborah in to be used in your house, oh Lord.
We have a kingdom that cannot be moved, that cannot be shaken. And we are expected to render acceptable service. And here we are asked to mobilize the church. Pray and ask God for grace to help you. Oh Lord, help me to discipline myself, to be an example in this area. And so help me to organize my people properly. Help me to prepare the workforce that you have given unto me. You may not be the pastor in charge, but you are heading a section of the ministry. Pray that God will help you to mobilize the people towards acceptable service. We will not condone anything that doesn't glorify God. Anything that will rubbish the rewards we are expecting, we will not condone it. Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Pray. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me, oh God. Help me, oh God. The motive must be right. There must be loyalty and faithfulness. There must be hard working. Every of these things must be in place if our services will be acceptable unto God. So, Lord, help me. Equip me to prepare them for you. Number one servant, Lord, let me be prepared to render acceptable service, presenting my bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. And then I will not conform to the world. I will not conform to the world. Laziness is conformation to the world. I will not conform. I will be hardworking. I will be serious. I will be disciplined. I will be punctual to programs so that I can curb erring members in the name of Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. Holy Spirit, I look up to you. Help me. I have no power of my own. One more time. I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. Holy Spirit, I look up to you. I have no power of my own.
Before we pray, this thing just came to my mind. I will share. When we are singing this, please, brethren, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Somebody you are guiding, somebody you are training, decides to rebel against you. If the Holy Ghost does not help you, you will release curses before you know. You will pursue them out. It almost happened to us. Nobody is above some of these challenges. But because God helped us, the same person that would have even left this last Thursday mobilized the evangelism group after he had been restored, after he had understood. And if she couldn't come, I sat down. I was in church to monitor what they are doing, and I saw the way they were running and insisting that they must do this evangelism out there, and they carry instrument, and they went and he preached. And he preached and they came back and we got the report. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. When we are supposed to keep quiet so that we can keep quiet. When we are supposed to show love so we can show love. When we are supposed to rebuke so we can rebuke. When we are supposed to direct and instruct so we can do it. We will take it one more time and you will pray according to how you understand this. I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. Holy Spirit, I look up to you. Help.
power of my own.
Masanta la baba shindili gidi gidi boko sundia. Limbra ya gaga ye gidi gidi gidi. Zegele boko sunta la bra ye gidi. Zinto lebra ya gara baba shindili gidi bo.
Even when the devil comes to tell you you are unable, you are not fit, you are not qualified, the Holy Ghost will make you able. The Holy Ghost will make you fit. The Holy Ghost will make you qualified. He's our energizer, he's our strengthener, he's our helper, he's our companion. We cannot organize the people without the help of the Holy Spirit.
Help me, I have no power of my own.
Father, we surrender to you.
Yes,
we have
Lord.
No power of our own. Who are we to mobilize your people? Lord, all the areas of struggles we have individually, give us victory over such areas. We will overcome those challenges that are staring at us in the name of Jesus. And you will empower us to mobilize your people to render quality, acceptable service all of the time in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. Many a times we look down on ourselves because we are women. But we thank you because you have given us the understanding. And so, Father, help us to stand in the place you have put us to mobilize the people, particularly in this end time, to render acceptable service. We, together with our people you have given to us, we will render acceptable service. Let us not fail you, O God. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us to continually fellowship with you, to depend on you totally. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed.
God bless you, ma. Hallelujah.